John Busby with the Culture Buzz, and joining me right now is someone I've had the distinct pleasure to meet, and you know, dag nabbit, we almost did a film together. Doesn't that sound pretentious? Dr. Stephen D. Farmer is my guest. Stephen is just an incredible author. I'm going to let you explain kind of what you're about. We're going to be talking about his new book, though, Healing Ancestral Karma. I got a review copy, and Stephen, I had a heck of a time wresting it away from my wife just so I could do my interview. And she said, as soon as you're done with the interview, I want you to bring it home so I can keep reading Stephen's book. So,
great. Oh, I'm glad.
As you introduce yourself to people and someone says, you know, it's nice to meet you. What do? How do you respond to that?
I think I used to be a little bit careful about that because a few years ago, the word shaman or shamanic practitioner wasn't necessarily a household word, and I'm not sure that it still is, but I've become very bold, I guess you would say, about just saying this is what I do. I sometimes describe myself, I'm a former psychotherapist, had a practice for 30 plus years, a very successful practice. I've taught college, I've been a professor at Saddleback College, and currently I'm what I would call a soul healer, and one of those aspects of that is being a shamanic practitioner. And then, you know, from there, they will blink several times trying to figure out what I'm talking about, or they'll go, oh, tell me more, you know, something like that. That's how I'd introduce myself. Also an author,
written
several books, do a lot of workshops and private consultations, etc. And, you know, as you know, John, you know, quite a few books, including the latest one, Healing Ancestral Karma.
Yes. Fantastic books. Fantastically insightful books. Earthmagic.net is the website. I'll mention that two or three times. Dr. Stephen Farmer is the author, is the man that you're listening to right now. Healing Ancestral Karma, Free Yourself from Unhealthy Family Patterns is his book. And, you know, you mentioned about the shamanic aspect of your work. I think one thing that, at least from my perspective, that has really come out is the world is more accepting and understanding and actually more aggressively looking at options that are more indigenous, more natural than the, you know, let's fix it, let's stuff medication into people type traditional medicine. That sounds odd to say because the things you're working in predate traditional medicine by millennia.
Yeah, in fact, John, sometimes we could put that around and say that really this is traditional medicine.
Yes.
And what we're talking about here. And yeah, I you're absolutely right. There's something that's emerging in consciousness, in human consciousness. And I think it's related to having looked at our history and how we've been conquerors and basically viewed the earth as something for our use, you know, more than seeing that we're on this matrix of consciousness and that every being on the planet is conscious in some way or is an expression of that consciousness. Or you could say the expression of that spirit, of spirit. So what I like about the shamanic work is that an important aspect of that is a return to that more intimate relationship with the earth and all of the beings of the earth. Not just on the physical level, John, but certainly on a spiritual level. In other words, that invisible aspect that manifests as a tree or an animal or a human being, as far as that goes. So I think we're in the process now of revising. It's like I often say to people, it's not about saving the planet. It's really about revising our relationship and developing a greater sense of that connectedness with not just the planet, because that's pretty big to think of the planet, but of all the beings on the planet. I look out my window here and I see this magnificent tree, and on one level, yes, it's a tree, absolutely, and I can enjoy it, you know, its beauty and its splendor as a tree. And on another level, that if I just relax and breathe, I can get a sense of this is a living being, and that I'm in this process right now as I view this tree of making a connection with this being. So that's what I really, much of my work has to do with that, is to encouraging people to pay attention to visitations by animals, you know, that may be an animal spirit guide. that the book I wrote called Earth Magic is really, to me, that's what it's about, is this, the beauty. This morning, it was actually yesterday morning, we got a new puppy dog, and I went out with him, you know, for his morning, and it was, you know, we're off daylight saving time now, so it's very early, and I looked up in the sky, and the early morning sky, you can see three planets that are in alignment. And that just takes my breath away, John, you know, to see something like that. There's Jupiter, and then a really bright one is Venus, and then just below that, you can still see it as Mars. And to me, that's just magical to be able to perceive something like that.
Well, your comments there just you remind me of something that I need to keep saying to myself and to tell other people all the time is, be aware of your environment. Look around. Mm-hmm. Soak it in. Take it in. We're going to get to the details on healing ancestral karma, but I just had kind of a vision of the overall body of your work, and I haven't read all your books. I'm a slow reader. I need to take time, but it's almost like what you've done is you have captured in book form your journey, and they're sharing things all the time, and these are the sharing points, the way you're multiplying yourself. And I think that's, for me, that's a good way for me to look that I am following Stephen Farmer's journey through his writings, and so I've got this wonderful resource in my hand.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's a very kind comment, and I appreciate it. I jumping to the Ancestral Karma, the book Healing Ancestral Karma, really began to understand that in the work that I do, particularly the shamanic work, which I don't just do shamanic work. I, you know, have a history, as I said, 30 plus years of psychotherapist, so I've got a lot of tools from that tradition too. But I realized with John that with the shamanic work particularly, that what we have neglected in our culture, and the Western culture particularly, is this connection, really feeling connected to the ancestors. And in many cultures, it's a daily part of their lives, that the ancestors, that you'd ask somebody, let's say in an indigenous culture, you know, do you think your ancestors are with you? And they go, oh, of course. What do you think, silly? Of course they are. They, even though they're deceased, they're dead, that there's a living presence. In the book itself, I go through, if anybody has doubts, I cite mediums, near-death experience, my own experiences with witnessing medium demonstrations, and also going to see someone who's a medium and finding that somehow this ancestor will come through, or that someone who has a near-death experience, that there is, to me, that's evidence that there is this life after death. You know, every tradition has a different view of how that actually works. You know, some believe the soul reincarnates, some believe that, many indigenous cultures believe that the individual who dies, the ancestor, and becomes an ancestor, doesn't just mysteriously gravitate, you know, to some etheric realm. That even if they do, they're able to transit back and to be an active force in daily life. There's a funny story in the book. I think it's the Zulu tradition that when an elder ancestor dies, they actually set up a place in the hut for them to sit, you know, to be present in the family. They're part of the family still. And the funny part was, they said they set this one piece I read, they set this seat up in a very special place in the hut right next to the beer. So the ancestor, they can't drink the beer, but they can smell it and they appreciate it. We just passed a holiday, you know, 2 days ago, Halloween, which is fascinating to me. The underpinnings, what's underneath all the costumes and the kids and the candy and everything, which in itself is a great ritual and a celebration. But what's really, where did this stem from? And there's two traditions, John, that I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. One is Hispanic listeners certainly would be familiar with, the Dia de los Muertos.
Day of the Dead.
Which is, yeah, the Day of the Dead. And that's when, you know, everybody thinks, ooh, it's kind of creepy, you know, you see these parades and there's skeleton faces and all that, but it's not meant to be horrific or creepy. It's a way to acknowledge that at that time of year, right around October 31st, is when the veil between the world of spirit and the physical realm is the thinnest, and that our ancestors come to visit us check us out, see how we're doing. An older tradition that I just always loved, because I have some of this in my blood, the Irish English, is the Celtic tradition called Samhain, spelled in a weird Gaelic way, S-A-M-H-A-I-N. Don't even ask me. I have no idea why it's pronounced Samhain, but that's the pronunciation. But the tradition is this, is that you set up an altar for your ancestors. You put, you know, pictures, you put artifacts, etc. You even put food on the altar, similar to El Día de los Muertos. The idea is that what happens when that veil is finished, the ancestors come, and if you have set this altar up and honored them in that way, then they will be kind to you for the rest of the year. They'll watch over you for the remainder of the year, for the next year-long cycle. However, if you don't, if you forget that, they might try to trick you in some way that's not necessarily harmful, but just to remind you, like, hey, we're here. Don't forget us. And so there's where our tradition trick or treat comes from.
Uh-huh.
If you leave treats for the ancestors, then they're benevolent. But if you don't, they might trick you and mess with you a little bit over the next cycle of the year. Isn't that interesting to me?
It's fascinating.
Even the name Halloween, John, if you break it down, means holy evening. Hallowed be thy name.
Yeah.
Holy evening. And in the Celts, it was considered to be the most sacred of holidays, was the holy evening. So you get, you know, just from those examples, I get a feel for how, first off, that ancestors are a living force. And part of my mission here, certainly with the book and my teachings and workshops, is to encourage people to appreciate that and to honor the ancestors in the ways that you like, not just on the October 31st, but in other ways too. We already do. We go to grave sites, etc. But my take is, instead of just calling them deceased loved ones, is to call them ancestors too, because it puts a whole different take on it.
Well, it gives us more that we can lean on as we go through life. Dr. Stephen Farmer is my guest. We're talking about his newest book, Healing Ancestral Karma, Free Yourself from Unhealthy Family Patterns. His website is earthmagic.net. earthmagic.net. Go there to find out more about this fascinating author. He's written a ton of books. This is the latest. One thing that just popped in my head, well, actually two things, and you can address these. One, you mentioned unhealthy family patterns. I think in terms of, we've all heard it, maybe it's in our own families where you say, you know, his grandfather, his uncle, his father was an alcoholic. He's bound to be an alcoholic, or other tendencies like that. The other thing is the kind of family with air quotes around it, where maybe someone has gone through an adoption or orphan process, something like that. They don't know their family. Can they embrace kind of a tribal sense of family and find kindred spirits that they can associate with?
Oh, absolutely. A very good question. Yes, I actually had in my very first workshop on this subject about 5 years ago, I did a meditation, and in the meditation I heard the advice from the teacher or spirit that said, hey, you're going to have somebody in your class that's adopted and they don't know their biological parents. So this one exercise I do, which it's too lengthy to go into, but it's briefly, it's a way of working with the ancestors on one's own healing, and also sending that healing on to one's descendants. Very, very powerful exercise. And in preparation for that exercise, I think I had 15, 20 people in the workshop. One woman raised her hand, and sure enough, she said, you know, I was adopted. I don't know my biological parents. Will this stuff work? And I said, yes. And again, I was reminded again of the power of spirits and paying attention. So someone who was adopted, whether they know their biological parents or not, in this case they didn't, they were able to do the exercise successfully, even though they couldn't identify specifically. They could, to use a little abstraction, they could feel the energy of their parents, their biological parents, and their grandparents, and their great-grandparents. John, the fascinating thing that I've come across, though, is what I consider a statement of fact, is when you die, you're not done. You know, you're not immediately sainted. You still have you have some work to do. There's a process of a spiritual evolution that occurs, too. And that's in many, many traditions. You know, you can, listeners can look that up and discover for themselves the different traditions where this is suggested in many of those traditions, that there's a sequence that one goes through as an ancestor of clearing up some of the things that you might be carrying over, some of the baggage. The good news is this is where healing ancestral karma comes in. Is, let's say you have a condition, and whatever it may be, maybe you got digestive problems or something like that, a physical condition, or you have an emotional condition. You get angry too easily. You know, you don't want to. Yeah, there's a number of ways that you can certainly work with this in this physical realm, but you can also work with the ancestors to clear this, what I'm calling the karma. You know, what's been passed along. You know, you've heard people, I'm sure, say, "Well, cancer runs in our family."
Yes.
Well, that in itself becomes a belief. But let's suppose that you can somehow identify, let's say, a precancerous condition, and through this process be able to access, make a connection with an ancestor that also had cancer, and through the assistance of God or spirit, whichever word you choose, you can send healing light to this ancestor across time and space. And let's suppose also that with the ancestor receives this and receives whatever healing they need, that they can now send this healed condition back to you, and you can in turn send it to your descendants. Let's just suppose you could do that. Wouldn't that be remarkable? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, one thing I encourage my listeners, in fact, everyone who's around me, is to become what I call cultural adventurers. Open yourselves to possibilities, because you have the power to accept or deflect whatever comes your way. But if you deflect everything except maybe some kind of a calcified path that you've already set, you definitely won't get any further. And this is what I love about your approach to things, is you provide opportunities for people to expand.
Yep. Well stated. I like what you said. I had to say with that. I often tell people, don't believe me or disbelieve me. You know, try this on your own. I've had experiences where, and many people do that are open to this, as you said, not getting locked into that sort of static way of thinking and being. Is visitations from the deceased loved ones, ancestors, mother, father, grandma, grandpa. I've had visitations, and I'm sure many of the listeners have in some way, of my father, my mother, my grandfather, even my brother who died some years ago. I had one, if I could just tell this story briefly.
Yes, John. Yes.
My mother came to me during this meditation, and it's described in this book. We'll call it a meditation, where she came to me, and we had this whole dialogue. It was so fascinating to me. She basically said, "Look, Stephen," she didn't say it quite like that, but, you know, she says, "Look, here's the deal." I'm paraphrasing. "When I met your father, he was a good man. You know, he was a hard worker. I knew he'd be a good provider. And I was a single mom right after the war, in the 40s, late 40s, with three children, which were my two brothers and sister, my half-brothers and sister. And I thought that I wanted to marry him, and he proposed, we got married. The only thing is, he wanted to have another kid. I wasn't real keen about it, because I already had three. And so that's why when I was raising you, I was always kind of ambivalent. You know, sometimes I feel my love for you, and sometimes I pull back, and sometimes I resent you, and you picked up on that because you're very sensitive. And I just want to say I'm sorry." Man, the tears, even now I feel emotional, John, as I tell you that, just the tears of relief, you know, and I felt so much compassion for her, that she had evolved, shall we say, through her own spiritual path to the point where she could come to me like that. We talk about forgiveness, John, but that word wasn't even in that process. It was an experience of complete forgiveness, both on her part and on my part. It was just like, oh, and it was like the final piece for me of this kind of puzzle about my mother and the relationship with her and how that transferred to, you know, to other women, etc. That's a kind of healing that can take place, of a karmic quality of my carrying her own. And God bless her, she was abused, you know, and she had a really rough life growing up, and I get that. So I can't, I don't hold any blame or resentment, or I just don't have any energy on her anymore. I just, more than anything, I have my love, I feel love for her and appreciation. That's the kind of healing that can take place. Plus, whatever healing we do, John, here, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be just with ancestors, but whatever healing we do here, it benefits the ancestors in their own spiritual evolution. That is really key, and that's such a, how would I put it, it's really on the leading edge as far as a conceptual process of how this can work with the ancestors.
Yep. Dr. Stephen Farmer is my guest. He is a licensed psychotherapist, shamanic practitioner, soul healer, international lecturer, and ordained minister. And as you can tell by our conversation, he is a wise person who will probably kind of shift that off a little to the side and say, you know, I'm just channeling the wisdom that has come to me that I let be shared through me. And his latest book is a great one. It's Healing Ancestral Karma, Free Yourself from Unhealthy Family Patterns. I encourage you to get this book, delve into it, open yourself up to the possibilities. Earthmagic.net is his website, because I've lived long enough that I don't always succeed at this, but it seems like it's a lot easier to share positive energy and to forgive rather than to hang on to anger and vitriol. It just, that's just too exhausting for me.
Yeah, and they can help us. That's the other other key that I would want to stress is, you know, calling in the ancestors, in addition to any other spirit guides, spirit helpers, it really transcends any specific religion or spiritual practice to incorporate the ancestors. And that's my pitch on that is they want to help us. They definitely want to help us.
There you are, folks. Dr. Stephen Farmer, if you haven't been introduced to this writer, this shamanic practitioner yet, do connect with him. Go to www.earthmagic.net and get his latest book, Healing Ancestral Karma. Look at his other books. You're going to find just a wealth of wonderful literature you're going to want to get hold of. Stephen, much continued success for what you're doing. Thank you for Healing Ancestral Karma. What a fantastic book. Like I said, yours are resource books. I can find myself at a different point from one week to the next, look at the same passage I've read each time and find something different. And that is just a wonderful gift that you're sharing with us, which in turn you want people to share through their own lives.
Well, thank you, John. That's very gracious of you, and God bless you and your listeners, too. I love my work, and I feel very very grateful that I'm able to do this work and offer the service that I do to the world. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm only too glad to share you with the listeners here on the Culture Buzz. So until the next time, thank you so much for your time this time. Dr. Stephen Farmer, Healing Ancestral Karma. Go to earthmagic.net to learn more about this man and what he does and what he has to share, but definitely get Healing Ancestral Karma. I look forward to our next conversation, Stephen. Until then,
anytime, John. Yeah, thank you.
Take care.